RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Western correspondent is Brett Nielsen of OurCampingAdventures.com. Brett is an infrastructure engineering manager. To break away from the high-tech work, he enjoys camping with his wife, Ashley, and daughter, Lily, in his Keystone hideout. The three of them are based in Utah and frequently find themselves enjoying extended weekends in state and federal campgrounds. Welcome to the show, Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Oh, great. So great to have you back on Campground of the Week. I feel like we've been hanging out more on RVFTA over there lately.
Indeed. That's very true. So
Brett hasn't slummed it over here on Campground of the Week. It's been too long.
Well, I am very excited about this episode, and we will tell everybody why we are excited about this episode. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Yogi Bear Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone park near you.
All right, so about 3 months ago, we did a very popular episode on Fort Wilderness Campground, which is near Disney World in Florida. And how many people commented on social media, on our blog, everything saying, well, why isn't there an equivalent in California near Disneyland? And we said, we don't know.
And we said, we're going to send Brett there right now.
Well, you know, there isn't an equivalent to Fort Wilderness, but our good correspondent, Brett Nielsen, happened to have scheduled a vacation at Disneyland and stayed at a campground nearby. So I am really glad he's on to give a review.
And we gave him the RVFTA credit card and said, have at it. Brad.
Yeah, that's how
Go
we work around here.
Dispatch the correspondence.
Actually, there is no RVFTA credit card.
No, there's not.
They took it away from us.
Yeah, there was for a short time, but no. So Brett Nielsen is here to review Anaheim RV Park, which is really nearby, closely located to Disneyland, California. You ready to go, Brett?
You bet. Let's do it.
All right. Be a little more specific than I just was, locating us geographically.
Right. So those that aren't familiar with Anaheim, it's in Southern California. It's about 30 miles south of Los Angeles, about 270 miles from Las Vegas. So the beauty of this park is it is they claim it's a mile, probably a mile straight, but it's about almost 2 miles to Disneyland. It takes you about 5 minutes to get there to the actual gate.
So that is really easy access there, especially when you consider that it definitely takes more time to get from Fort Wilderness to Disney World. And that's like right on site.
That's true. It probably actually does take more time. You know, it's funny because it's on property. I don't think of it as being further away than something like this.
That's really close. Okay, so tell us a little more about the type of campground that this is.
Yeah, so this is a private campground. It is open year-round, where it caters to primarily Disneyland. It's got kind of an interesting what they would call peak season, which is really March to September, and then they kind of hit a slow point and then they jump back into it really November through New Year's, which is interesting that they don't have Halloween here because Halloween is a big Disney kind of time. I know a lot of people from Utah travel to go to Disneyland over Halloween. They do the park up really nice. So it's interesting that October isn't really considered one of their peak times. But it's a really nice private campground that is definitely focused at getting people close to Disney, as close as they really can be, and then getting them over to the park and letting them have all their Disney fun.
Do you think they're scared of Halloween here, Brent?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I mean, it seems like it would be just wonderful to come here and participate in this park and be at Disneyland over Halloween. I mean, yeah, that would be great.
In Florida, I mean, at the Fort in Disney World, Halloween is huge. I mean, it's like seemingly just as big as Christmas or Easter. I mean, it's sold out and every site is decorated.
Well, I think that it's a benefit if it's not considered peak because then the prices are probably lower. So that's that's probably a good thing. So about how big is this campground?
So it's about 100 sites. I was looking at their map online trying to count up exactly how many they had. And the park itself is a little bit interesting. And let me just dive in a little bit to how this park's set up. This park sits in the middle of a neighborhood. So you are very much amidst other houses. There's a school across the street. So you very much feel like you are part of that neighborhood. At some point in history, this park was a mobile home park. And those mobile homes, as I guess their leases or whatever are expiring, they're moving those out, changing those lots into RV spots and making it an RV campground. So there are a few spots in here where the mobile homes still exist. Now, nothing to worry about. The mobile homes are in great condition. They look fine. We didn't actually see anybody in and about the mobile homes, but they were just fine. They didn't cause any problems in the park whatsoever. So I can only imagine that some of those lots are getting converted. And when you look on their online map, some of the spots where they had indicated that there were where there were spaces, I know there were mobile homes there. So maybe it's planned this year that they're going to change those out or something to that effect. So it is a little bit of a different park in that respect.
Sounds like Brooklyn or the Jersey Shore. It's getting gentrified. Before you know it, there'll be craft roasters on the corner.
It sounds to me like Brett had his first taste of urban camping.
Yes. No, this was definitely an urban camping adventure for us. We've camped close to cities, but this was very much, I mean, quite literally, Interstate 5, which is a major freeway there right by Disneyland, is right next to this campground. So
it does sound more like some things we have on the East Coast. I mean, certainly I think of like the Capitol KOA in Maryland outside of Washington, D.C. Like you basically like turn right after somebody's driveway, you know, and then you're in the campground. Like you literally drive through a neighborhood and there the campground is right by a highway. So
yeah. In fact, the campground streets, if you want to call them that, are not separated from the public streets. There isn't like a big fence that goes around this campground or anything. You turn down kind of a neighborhood street. It's a quiet neighborhood street. And then off of that street, you turn down into each of the campground streets. So
now that is a little weird. That is a little weird. There's like a fence or something, you know?
Yeah. There's no fence here. In fact, when we booked our sites originally, the customer service folks called us and said, "Hey, we see your reservation. We just want to talk to you about it," which is interesting. I booked it online and they called me. So it kind of worked out instead of me calling them. But they cautioned me that the site that I had booked was directly off of that quiet neighborhood street. And they said, "You might be more comfortable on one of our interior sites." And they went over the different options with us on the phone. We ended up changing and we were very happy that we did. But if we would have been on that, the sites that we originally booked, hindsight, we would have been just fine there too.
Well, that's an example of really good customer service. But now that since we're talking about the number of sites, let's just hold off on talking about price for a second and talk about booking and whether this sells out or not. Because you would think being this close to Disneyland that this would be a fairly popular campground, and it doesn't doesn't seem like it has a ton of sites at 100, you know, around 100. So do you get the sense that you have to really book far in advance to get a spot here?
Yeah, we booked several months in advance for this. We were definitely planning. I wouldn't say a year in advance by any means, but we booked it was late 2016 when we booked, and we went in February. So we definitely booked in advance. So I wouldn't try any last minute stuff here, especially if you're anywhere near the major holidays. There's just, you're going to want to get that reservation in as early as possible.
All right. So what about how much is this going to cost our people?
Yeah. So, and this is the great part, because as I talk to different people that maybe aren't RVers about going on our trip, they were really impressed with the amount that we were paying for our spaces. And they said, you can't even touch a hotel for anywhere near that. And the beauty is we had our own accommodations with our trailer, so we were very comfortable. So a basic back-end site is anywhere from $65 to $70. And you go all the way to your deluxe kind of pull-throughs are $80 to $85. Those are kind of your starting ranges. There's a few that go up a little bit more than that. But you're really 65 to 85 is kind of your main target range, which, again, you're not going to be able to touch a hotel in this area for anywhere near that.
So what was your site actually like? Were you in a back end or a pull through? Was it a nice site, a small site, a big site?
Yeah, so we ended up changing. We were in a basic pull through, which was off of that street, and we changed to a deluxe back end. And it wasn't really clear what the differences were in the sites as far as what makes it deluxe or what doesn't. We had a very wide driveway. It was all concrete, very nice, very easy to back into, plenty of room to back in the trailer and pull the F-150 up in front of that and still not be hanging out into the road and still have room for the picnic table and area to kind of congregate out on the side on the concrete under the awning. So plenty of space there. And the spaces were, you probably had, I would say probably 10 feet maybe in between of a grass area in between the sites. So you have a pretty good gap between you and your neighbor.
All right. Before we go too much further into the site details, I do want to mention that you told us that there was a kid tax here, and that's always important to our listeners.
Yeah. And especially in a place like this, I mean, this isn't individuals coming for a couple's getaway weekend, right? They're coming here to go to Disneyland. And so there is a kid tax of $3. So all the prices are based on two people, and then it's $3 per person above and beyond that. So you have to figure that in. And so you do have that unfortunate kid tax here, which is really strange in a place like this, just because it seems like they would just build that into the price and not have to worry about it.
And were most of the campers there families with kids like you guys?
Very much so. Yeah, there were some very large families there. There were definitely some people traveling in groups that had sites that were contiguous, and they were all gathered around at night, hanging out and cooking together. And it was very obvious that this was a family and friend kind of community area where people were there. The campground is bustling early in the morning and in the evening, and during the day it is dead silent because everybody's gone.
Let's talk amenities in case you do decide to stay at the campground. What did they have there?
Yeah, so the main thing that they've got as far as amenities is each site has their picnic table. They've got a variety of trees and stuff around to provide some shade. But the main kind of feature there is really the pool and hot tub. And they have a nice pool and hot tub area. It's not huge. And there's options in Disneyland if you want to go get wet. But these are nice to have, especially like for us. The day that we arrived, we didn't go over to Disneyland. We didn't want to buy a pass for that day. So we ended up using that day to play around in the pool and kind of hang out. Our site was really close to the pool, which made it very easy to get over there and kind of hang out. But they've got a nice pool and hot tub area. Then they've got your standard kind of clubhouse meeting room that's got a TV where they serve continental breakfast, coffee and muffins, those kind of things. They've got laundry rooms, restrooms, showers, all of those kind of things. And they had a shared barbecue area, which was kind of unique. They had taken one of the what would look like it would be a full-fledged site, and they had multiple barbecues out there and a bunch of picnic tables that people could come. We never saw anybody use it, but you could definitely put a group in there and use those shared barbecues without any kind of problem.
Brett was a long way gone from Devil's Garden in Arches National Park, wasn't he? Hot tub, barbecues.
This is a very different experience, yes.
Do they do continental breakfast at any of Utah's state park campgrounds, Brett?
No. Maybe if you're lucky, you'll catch a squirrel or something like that. But that's
roasted squirrel.
I think Brett is on this journey towards being a private campground guy.
He dips his toe in
the hot tub. That's what he dips his toe in.
Oh, yeah.
So, right now, public transportation comes by this campground?
Yeah, and that's actually a really cool feature here. So they have a bus called the Anaheim Resort Transit, or ART, A-R-T. And it goes through various hotels. It has different routes. There's like 10 different buses that circle around all the hotels and pick people up. So ART has a stop at the RV park. So you can go get the passes there in the morning. It's a hop on, hop off, but you really only hop on and hop off at one stop. But you pay the fee and you can ride it back and forth as many times as you want. So an adult fare is $5.50. That's good for 24 hours. And like I said, you can ride that bus back and forth to the park as many times as you want.
Did you guys take advantage of that, or did you use the car and drive in, the F-150 and drive in?
We actually did do this because parking at Disneyland is a bit of a bear. You park at an offsite lot and there's a shuttle that you have to take in, and it's kind of a pain. And we knew that from a previous trip, so we totally took advantage of this bus. It was great. It runs about every 20 minutes, and the RV park is the first stop, which is great because then the bus in the middle, you know, in the morning doesn't have anybody on it because it's coming from Disneyland. You get on the bus and you're the first ones there, so you get plenty of seats. I think there's two or three stops after the RV park, and then you're at Disneyland. And so it worked really well to be able to take that back and forth every day. $5.50 for adults, $2 for children. It ended up being a great deal for us.
It's practically a private shuttle. I mean, if there's just two stops and then you're there.
Yeah, it is. This isn't like one of those shared ride things that you're going to get on and be on it for an hour. Quite literally, I mean, if you were to go directly, it's like 5 minutes to Disneyland, but this probably takes maybe 10 minutes to get there by the time it stops. So it's really nothing.
And I'm sure you get dropped off much closer to the park than you do if you actually park your car, because that, you know, is usually the case with these places.
Yeah, so this drops you about as close to the security gate as you can get.
All right. Well, then that sounds like it's definitely the way to go, a no-brainer. Now, tell us about Wi-Fi and Sal.
Yeah. So they do offer free Wi-Fi at the campground. We found it to be actually usable. We don't have any kind of booster or anything in our rig, so we were just using the Wi-Fi card on our laptop. And we're able to connect to it just fine. We weren't doing anything extensive on it, but we were definitely able to get connected, get online, do a few emails, that kind of thing without any problem. And where you're in such a metro area here, you really have no issues with cell service. We had 5 bars, no issues there whatsoever.
Any insider details that we didn't cover yet, Brett?
Yeah. So, well, I mentioned that this was a neighborhood campground. So you just got to, that's just kind of one of those mental things you got to get past, especially those of us that are used to being in pine trees and forests. This was a little bit different, different experience for us. It is very close to the freeway. If you look at this place on a map, the freeway is kind of one wall of the campground. I was a little bit worried about the road noise associated with that, but what I found is the traffic on that freeway is so consistent, we didn't really end up hearing it. It turns into just background noise.
Brett, it sounds like the ocean. That's what I tell myself.
You don't even know it's there.
When we were in Washington, D.C., right next to a superhighway, it was like, it's the ocean, and it kind of worked.
So one of the other details is around ART. So ART, the transit service. If you are going to only go to Disneyland in the morning and then only come back in the evening, you really ought to consider maybe taking an Uber, because an Uber where you could get multiple people in the car is $5 to $9 each way. So if you pay for it there and pay for it back, you're, you know, $10 on the cheap end. That's two people with the all-day kind of bounce back and forth pass. So you got to just look at that as an option. If you're not going to bounce back and forth a bunch of times, the Uber might be a better way. definitely check that price. The bus is really convenient, but having an Uber pick you up and drop you off at almost the same place that the bus will drop you off might be just as convenient and save you a couple bucks.
All right, very good tip. Now, nobody's perfect. Do you have anything that this campground might want to look into a little bit in the future?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, they do have some really nice trees that are really good shade trees. And I don't know if every one of the trees has this same problem, but the one that was in our site had these little berry things that it liked to drop. And a good indication of this that I ignored the warning is when we pulled into our site and the berries were all over the picnic table and all over the site, and I ended up having to sweep them up there. I didn't realize that they had probably swept them up a couple hours earlier than that before we arrived, and they had all come back down. So not so much that you have to clean up the site, but they ended up on the top of the rig. And they ended up like making these little stain marks. So on our last day, I was up there with a hose, hosing it off and kind of wiping it off. And it took a little bit of scrubbing to get all the junk off the top of the roof.
And they can stain your awning too.
They definitely can. You've got your awning out or whatever. I don't know what these things were because they were like a berry, but when you stepped on the ground, they were hard and kind of crunchy. But for some reason, they would leave this like stain mark. A word of caution, there's not much that they can do about that as far as, like, you know, stopping it, short of removing the trees. But I think the trees are very needed for the area, especially if you're here in summer, it's going to be fairly warm. So a word of caution, it would have been nice if they would have told me, hey, there's a great tree that's going to provide a lot of shade in your site. But just to let you know, there's some things that are going to fall out of it and probably make a mess out of your roof.
So Southern California is not a complete paradise.
No palm trees here.
All right, huge thank you to Brett Nielsen for his review of the Anaheim RV Park. We're going to come back in a second, and he's going to talk about his time in Disneyland and elsewhere. Stay tuned for Butterbeer. Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968 to today. When Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just had a great review of the Anaheim RV Park by Brett Nielsen from ourcampingadventures.com. And now we're going to talk about all the things Brett did, including, of course, Disneyland. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV. All right. Now, we know that you stayed at this campground because it was right outside of Disneyland, California. So let's dive right into that. Talk to us a little bit about your experience at Disneyland.
Yeah. So this is the second time in recent history that we've been to Disney. I went as a little kid, which was a long time ago. And now we went a couple years ago, and then this was our first RV trip here. And man, this was a big difference to RV this close to Disneyland and be able to come back to the RV at night. Great experience. So Disneyland is set up a little bit different than Disney World. And when we were at Disneyland and buying our tickets and picking them up and everything, they even told us that the two parks are like on totally separate systems. And so things don't always carry over and they're not always exactly the same. So there's a few differences to kind of be aware of when you're coming to Disneyland. One of the first things that we have there is we've got Disneyland and California Adventure. So they are two full-fledged parks that are right next to each other. So you can come in and buy a ticket to Disneyland or buy a ticket to California Adventure, or you can get what's called a park hopper pass that allows you to bounce back and forth between the two of them, which is what we did. And that's what we found has really worked well, because there's some things that we want to do in both parks, but you do want to minimize your time going back and forth, because you can get bogged down going back and forth between the two parks, and it makes it a little bit easier if you kind of plan your day a little bit.
Brett, for those of us that are not really initiated in Disneyland, a lot of us Disney World folks on the East Coast, are there some primary differences between Disneyland and California Adventure? I mean, are there some characteristics that make one very different than the other?
Yeah, so Disneyland is your typical Disney experience, right? Both parks are Disney owned, so you get the same kind of quality of experience in both, but they are very different. So Disneyland, you'd have your castle and your traditional rides. You've got Small World and Pirates of the Caribbean, and you know, all the traditional Disneyland rides with the traditional Disneyland experience. California Adventure is broken up into different areas of the park that are more themed around California. So you've got an area of the park that's kind of like, I'll say, an older movies style, where all the buildings look like they're a lot more old fashioned, maybe from the 20s, 30s, 40s, something to that effect. You've got kind of a wilderness area that's more of an outdoorsy area. You've got a pier kind of area where you're down by the water and you're more on a boardwalk. So you've got these different areas within California Adventure that's more California themed, and you do definitely have different rides and a different experience in California Adventure than you do in Disneyland.
All right. So what was your breakdown? How much time did you spend in each park?
Yeah. So the first time that we went, which was a couple years ago, we weren't quite sure. And I think we nailed it this time. We did 2 days in Disneyland, 1 day in California Adventure, and then 1 day where we split it back and forth. So depending on the package that you bought, you would want to look at how you divide that up, because we definitely didn't need a park hopper pass every single day. We spent 2 full days in Disney and 1 full day in California Adventure, and then we only hopped back and forth on that last day. So really, we could have just bought the park hopper pass the last day and individual passes the others. But so often they'll do a bundle of like 4 days, 5 days, 8 days that are all park hoppers. You're going to have to kind of mess around with the packages and see where your best price point is.
Now, Brett, did you become a Zen master of the fast pass like Stephanie did?
Yes, you have to use the fast pass. If you don't, if you ignore it, a lot of people, they're like, I don't get it. I don't want to pay attention to it. The bottom line is you're wasting time not riding rides, and it's not that hard. So the way the FastPass system works here is you can have one FastPass out in either park at any given time. Shows that you would watch at night don't count against those FastPasses. So I can go get a FastPass for, let's say, one of the rides in Disneyland, like Pirates of the Caribbean. And then I could go get a fast pass for Radiator Springs Racers over in California Adventure and still have a fast pass for a show that night. And what that fast pass lets me do is not jump the line, but there's a separate line for fast pass versus the long line. So you'll have a wait on a ride that's maybe 60 minutes of waiting in line. If you have a fast pass, you're maybe waiting 5 or 10 minutes. So if you're not using these fast passes, you're kind of wasting time because you're sitting in line for an hour when if you would have thought about it a little bit ahead, you could have got a fast pass and jumped essentially to the front of the line. There were times that the fast passes were issuing right for at that time. So we would go get a fast pass and go to the fast pass line right then and basically skip the whole queue of everybody else waiting. So it's a fabulous system. You just have to kind of work through it. There's all kinds of strategies online. What we ended up doing is just following the strategy of what's closest to us and what do we want to ride. So we used a combination of apps, primarily the Disney app, the one that's put in the App Store by Disneyland, seemed to have the best wait times. So we would look at the app and kind of say, oh, okay, Pirates of the Caribbean's got a 15-minute wait. The Haunted Mansion's got an hour and a half wait. Let's go ahead and get a fast pass for it because the fast pass is good for 3 o'clock. We can get that. We can do this. And so we would kind of plan those out as we're waiting in line. We're talking about and thinking about where we're going. And then we would send somebody from our group off to go get the fast passes. So then they would go over to the fast pass machine with everybody's tickets, go get all the fast passes while everybody else is waiting in line, and then they would come join the party back in line and have the fast passes for whatever that next ride is. And that worked really, really well for us.
Yep, work that system, man. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now, you know, you mentioned to us that you really felt a connection with what we were talking about on our Disney World, on our episode 120 about Disney World in Florida, just about the quality of the cast and the experience at Disney. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, and I think it was Jeremy that mentioned it, something to the effect of anybody that is in customer service should come spend a day here and really see how these guys are doing it, because they do call them cast members because they are playing a part, and it is everybody's job to see that you're having a good time. And that is nowhere more obvious than at Disneyland. You come there and everybody there is all about you having a good time and making sure that you're doing things that make you happy. There was a point in the day where this really became obvious to me. We were on a ride, and I actually got injured on the ride. I scraped my knee on, of all things, a safety sign.
Sorry, Brad. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you.
So, and it was the Alice in Wonderland ride. So, I mean, it couldn't have been more, you know, childish than that. Other, maybe Small World, but anyway, I got off the ride, and I had, of course, being me, I've got a little first aid kit with me, and so I'm attending to my knee, cleaning it up, and I wasn't there a minute, 2 minutes, and there were staff members there asking if I needed anything, what happened. They wanted information. They wanted to know how I got hurt. They were offering first aid. They were offering all kinds of different things to me to make sure that I was taken care of and comfortable. And it was amazing to me how fast they were to me. I didn't tell anybody I had a problem. I came off the ride and kind of kneeled down and started cleaning up my knee a little bit. And they were immediately there.
Now, didn't one of the boys fall in the trading post, Stephanie?
Same
and
exact
somebody
thing
came,
happened.
Like somebody appeared, yeah, like out of thin air magically with like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, Wes practically got put on a stretcher for like a little cut that he had. Yeah.
It's so similar.
These guys would have called an ambulance in if I needed it. I mean, they were right there. And this person had like an iPad and a radio. And I mean, they were, I don't know where they came from, but all of a sudden they were just there. It was amazing. And they wanted to make sure that I was there and taken care of. They actually gave us a kind of a special fast pass as, I don't know, a consolation or something that allowed us to, you know, basically use it on any ride. We could just go to the line and go in, which was a nice way of saying, hey, we're sorry you got hurt. Go on about your day.
The amazing thing, though, is something like that turns into a positive part of your trip, and it turns into something that you actually like kind of brag about your trip. And that's the magic of it. So, yeah, exactly. If you're in customer service, go see how they do it.
The second we got that fast pass, we all knew exactly what ride we were going on, and we knew exactly when we were going to do it. So it was the best.
And then
thing.
Brett scraped his other knee, and then his elbow, and then he jammed his toe.
There was an unfortunate series of accidents after that event.
I would not advocate for people intentionally hurting themselves just to get fast passes. But if you do get hurt, it is possible to get them.
Maybe suggest that might make you feel better. All right, let's talk food. Do you have any recommendations for people? Because there's obviously going to be a million options.
Yeah, there's a lot of options here. One of the dinners that we were really looking forward to, and we hadn't been there before, and as we told people we were going to Disney, they're like, oh, you got to go to the Blue Bayou. It's more of a fancy dinner. You've got to know that kind of going in. The prices are a little bit elevated. One of the cool things about it, though, is it is inside Pirates of the Caribbean. So when you're eating, the people that are on the ships, they board their little ships to go in Pirates of the Caribbean, and they are floating by the restaurant. And when you're in, you know, the ride, you can see the restaurant over there and people are eating. And that's before it really gets in. It's just at the very beginning of the ride. But it's really fun being inside that ride and having the food. It does require reservation months in advance. So you really want to get on that. If that's somewhere you're going to go or want to go, you can't just show up and walk in. It's not going to happen. You have to get that reservation well in advance for Blue Bayou. And it is definitely a nice place. I had a nice surf and turf that night. It was really, really good. We had a nice nice wine with it. Everything was great. So
it's the pirate's life for me, Brad. I don't know about you.
It is. It's a great place. So another great place that we ate, this one's over in California Adventure. It's Flo's V8 Cafe. So this is in Radiator Springs, which is all cars themed, which is absolutely amazing. If you go over to that area, you need to go during the day and you need to go back at night because all the buildings are lit up with neon and stuff, especially Flo's. But it's really a lot more of a healthy option. I was surprised they didn't have anything fried on their menu whatsoever, not even French fries. They didn't have potato chips there, but it was just a really good, nice meal. I can't remember what I had there, but I remember everybody walked away really happy with their food from Flo's V8 Cafe.
And it's amazing how much better you feel after one of those meals too, right? Like we do that sometimes on the road, like when we eat a healthy lunch and we're just like, wow, we're as light as a feather.
Oh. Yeah, you can enjoy the rest of the day. Yeah. You don't need to go to sleep. All right. So if you want some hearty chowder, where should you go?
Yeah, so we've also found that we really like the Pacific Wharf Cafe over in California Adventure again. And this is sometimes where a park hopper might be nice because you could jump over there for lunch and then come back to Disneyland or whatever. But if you go to the Pacific Wharf Cafe, they do have other options, but ignore them. Get the clam chowder in the bread bowl. If you don't want clam chowder in a bread bowl, go find somewhere else to eat. Their other food is okay, but they're in the business of clam chowder in a bread bowl. So and we really like that. We've had that a couple of different times. We really, really enjoyed that. You can sit outside. Again, this is kind of a wharf kind of pier area. So when you're sitting outside, you feel like you're right on a fishing wharf or something to that effect.
Now, lots of other options for meals at Downtown Disney, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So Downtown Disney, this is a little bit of a kind of a different area. So you can get into Downtown Disney and not be in either park. So Disneyland and California Adventure, the gates face each other, and there's kind of this open common area in between. One side of that is where the buses and everything drop off. The other side of that is all Downtown Disney, and it's mostly retail shops, but there's a lot of chain restaurants there. There's different pizza places. There's places like the Rainforest Cafe and those kind of places, which tend to be good for kids and those kind of things. But it's definitely another option. If you don't want to be in the park, you can go to Downtown Disney. It is still expensive because it's right there, but it definitely has a few more options in that area.
Now, Brett, I just discovered you're in your notes here, you're a churro guy, just like I'm a churro guy. And you've spent a little bit too much time eating churros at Costco, just like I have.
Well, you know, the churros, and so when we went to Disneyland, we've got a friend that's what we call a Disney family. They go all the time. They're there several times a year, and they've raved about the churros for years. And, you know, I've had my share of Costco churros, which are a dollar, and I like them. They're good. And you go to Disney, and you have their $4.25 churro, and I'm thinking, this is the same thing as the Costco churro. So,
but maybe Brett, when you eat the Costco churro, you're in Costco.
You're not at Disneyland. When you eat
this is like my $4.50 honest tea. I was annoyed for 10 seconds, and then I looked around and realized I'm in Disney World drinking this tea.
Exactly. And so you do have to budget and think about that. And, you know, like we've said before, you're at Disneyland, but you're not there to save money. And so if you want a churro, have a churro. If you want an ice cream sandwich, have an ice cream sandwich, right? You're on vacation. You're there to have a good time.
And that padding and the price pays for that guy that swoops out of nowhere with Band-Aids.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Those are very expensive Band-Aids. So.
Now, Universal Studios, what was the experience with going to Universal, Brett?
Yeah, so we have a Harry Potter fan in our family, and so we were this close to Universal. We said, we got to go see Harry Potter Land in California, which is a very different experience, I gather, from the Harry Potter Land in Florida that you guys talked about on the previous episode. So the first thing, we didn't really pay attention to where Universal Studios was in relation to Anaheim and where we were. So Universal Studios is kind of on the other side of Los Angeles, which is about 40 miles north of where we were. So, you know, being good people, we say we want to get there when the park opens, and we start looking at that, and that has us traversing Los Angeles right in the middle of rush hour.
Yeah.
And so we said, that's probably not going to work. So let's delay our departure a little bit so the rush hour kind of calms down. And so we ended up going up there. It took us about an hour to go those 40 miles and get there. We did the park. And then on our way home, we were in rush hour, and it took us about 2 hours to get back to the RV park. So 3 hours in the car that day just to get to the Universal Studios and get back. So keep in mind that if you are going to do this, it is a little bit of a drive. I think all of us in the end would have said we should have either relocated to some RV place up closer to that and stayed a couple of days, or just skipped Universal altogether.
And not told the youngster that it was even there.
Yeah.
You know, that might have been my play as a dad. Like, I'm just not even going to mention it. I think you're lucky you got back in 2 hours, frankly.
Yeah, the traffic was definitely different than we are used to here in Utah. I mean, we have our share of traffic, but it was nothing like this. And in Universal as a whole, the park itself, I hate to say this, but I feel it was quite dated. A lot of the movies there that they're pitching and showing, my daughter was like, "Who's that?" You know, Doc Brown at one point walked by, and my daughter's looking, and I'm like, "Who is that guy?"
And I kind of feel bad. And the Belews Brothers, like, who are they?
Yeah, and I feel bad. Like, Doc Brown, my daughter should know who that is. That's Back to the Future. Like, yeah. I'm failing as a parent because she doesn't know who these people are. So, but I felt that the park was a little bit gauged for an older crowd. So if you have youngsters, this maybe isn't the right place for them. It was fun. We did have a good day there, but I don't know with the trip that we had, the driving, that it was really worth it. We did go into the Harry Potter area where they have, it's nowhere near the size of the one in Florida. This is you can probably walk from one end to the other in, I'll say, 5 minutes maybe from the gate all the way to the back of it. There's a couple of rides in there. You have the great things like Butterbeer, which there was some debate whether you want frozen or just iced, and ours is definitely frozen. Frozen was the hands-down winner. They've got some great eating places in there. But all in all, the couple of rides that they had, we saw Harry Potter, that Harry Potter area, and then we went out and did the rest of Universal. I definitely wouldn't make a trip just for Harry Potter. You need to make sure you're going for the other things that are there as well.
And not to belabor the point, but in Florida, you could just spend the whole day in Harry Potter and not do the rest of the park at all.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And here, if you were going just for Harry Potter, which we kind of were, it was a little bit of a disappointment because all the images you see online for Harry Potter Land and that are all from the Florida location, which is done up really well. The location here is very small in comparison. And I think they just didn't have enough space to build it out. Maybe they're going to expand it down the road. I don't know. It was still fun. We had a good time. But it was a little bit of a letdown, I'll say.
Well, I think that's really helpful information for our listeners, Brett. And I also think it's so helpful that you reviewed Anaheim RV Park in California, right outside, under 2 miles away from Disneyland. I think this is a great review, and I'm really excited to have it in our Campground of the Week lineup for all of our, you know, West Coast people that head to Disneyland and maybe looking for a great place to stay.
We got to get Brett and his crew to Fort Wilderness.
Yeah. We got to cross the country.
I was going to say, I'll take that RVFTA credit card.
Yeah, the RVFTA credit card's on its way.
that's when they took it away from us, Brett, at Disney World. All right, listen, a huge thank you to Brett Nielsen. And where can our listeners find you again, Brett?
rcampingadventures.com is the website and blog. We're also on Facebook at rcampingadventures and on Instagram at instagrablin.
And Brett celebrated a birthday recently.
Happy birthday, Brett.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And a big thank you to our sponsor, Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. And to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, you can check them out at campjellystone.com.
And also thank you to Progressive. Did you know that adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save money when you are out on the road seeing the sights? Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info today.
And Brett, we'll see you at the Alice in Wonderland ride, right? We'll meet you at the safety sign, Brett.
We'll see you there.
I will see you there.
Bye.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.